hour on Front Page on a Relationship Monday. More often than not, we deal with marriage. And that's how we'll close out 2013 as Rich and Kathy Ward share their story of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It's a story worth hearing this hour on Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com. Rich and Kathy Ward, thanks a lot for joining us in studio here at WWIB. And we were kind of reminiscing some that, Rich, you did work on our sales staff for a time back in the 90s. But I still remember first meeting you as I bought a car from you at Jim Carter Ford, wasn't it, back in the day in Eau Claire?
Yes, it was. It was not too far after out of college. I had a short stint there of selling selling cars.
Yep. And so it's kind of funny because Dave Stasik, who's been a longtime member of our sales staff, I remember meeting him, too, at a previous job he had, Kenny Shoes. So I don't know what it is. I mean, these salespeople, and lo and behold, they pass through here. And Keith Tompkins has not only started Leading with Power first Thursday of the month, which, by the way, there's one coming up Thursday of this week, guys. So after New Year's, register at leadingwithpower.org. Cody Bobet is a trainer, and he's going to talk to us about our health and physical activity heading into the new year. Perfect subject, perfect time for that Thursday, 11:45 at the Eagles Club in Lake Halley. But Keith's also started Renovate Thursday nights from 6 to 8 o'clock. And when I caught wind of the fact that you guys had shared your story there, I thought, well, I've got to ask him to bring it on the radio. So there you go. All right. So having shared at Renovate, and I heard it was very impactful there. So I appreciate you guys coming on. Well, welcome. And tell us a bit more. Kathy, let's meet you a little bit. Tell us about Rich and Kathy Ward, a little bit about who you guys are. And three kids, right?
Yep. All right. Well, I'm Kathy Ward. I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Live in Chippewa Falls since 1980. I'm a fourth grade teacher at Hillcrest Elementary. And we do have three children. Jenny's 30, Richard's 26, and we have our Julia is 14.
Uh-huh.
And we have three grandkids. We have Sydney, Noah, and Riley. And that's a little bit about us.
All right, Rich, I know you've been an avid hunter over the years, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. Probably one of my passions. At times, maybe a little bit too much, but good thing is it's only during the short fall.
he looks over. Yeah. Right. So now, what? Bow hunting?
Oh yeah, bow hunting is kind of the draw I do have. Uh-huh. No pun intended. You got the gun hunt for the short time, but it's we have a cabin up in Holcomb, and we spend quite a bit of time. Matter of fact, that's where I came to know the Lord up in those woods up there. So.
Okay. And occupationally for you, Rich, I mentioned Jim Carter Ford a little bit here at WIB, but kind of.
Yeah, I think almost 17, 18 years, Mark, as you know, I was in the cellular industry, started kind of at its infancy, had several stores, and have sold that business a few years ago. And most recently, I've settled in on just a really neat occupation. I work for CHS, which is, as a lot of us know it, as Cenex. I work for the company out of Inver Grove. And my main goal is to sell gas, or it's actually I sell diesel, with the sand mines and the large farms and the excavating companies. Of course, some of them do, but they don't pull into the gas station and buy gas. They purchase large quantities. And so that's my job. Great company and a lot of fun.
So let's go back in terms of the two of you, Rich and Kathy Ward. I mean, Kathy, you said you're from Philadelphia.
Yep.
And Rich, you're from?
Southern Wisconsin, Delavan.
So how'd you guys even meet?
We met when I was in Florida on a vacation with my parents and my sister and her five kids in just a little campground in central Florida. And Rich was in Wisconsin on spring break with a friend in college, kind of doing the wild partying thing. And he was visiting there a couple who his best friend was killed on the way to prom, and he was visiting that boy's parents, and we happened to meet. And we hung around for a couple days, and then I went back to Pennsylvania. I was going to Westchester State College, and he was going to Eau Claire. And my parents were very happy that we were parting ways.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
They did not care for that long-haired, earring-wearing, no shoe holy jeans kind of guys. So.
Okay. Because now you grew up in a Christian home, Kathy?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And you, Rich, maybe?
Introduction to it, go to church periodically, just no relationship there with Jesus.
Sure. And so Okay, they were glad, but what happened? Apparently the relationship continued.
Right. Rich was actually totally opposite than I was in every way, and the things that I loved about him were his humor, his craziness, you know, everything that he wasn't, or everything that he was, I wasn't. I was shy, and I just really felt attracted to him immediately, and I went back to Pennsylvania, and we basically just wrote and called and visited once in a while every couple months when we could, and we stayed in touch, and really we fell in love long distance. It wasn't probably the smartest way to get involved with someone, and in my mind, I knew he wasn't a Christian. I knew he drank, and I knew he smoked and swore and did things that were totally against my faith. But I also knew what God could do, and I figured I would just lead him to the Lord and life would be good. And that was not God's path for me. I should have, you know, I would like people to know I should have prayed for and sought a Christian. But what the Lord can do is he can take our mistakes and he can use them to his glory. And that's what he did, even though I didn't do what I really should have, what I was taught to do.
So in 1980, you got married. And through the years, I mean, marriage has its highs and lows, its ups and downs, and yours, like many, right?
Right, right.
And you, Rich? Well,
you know, I think back of that time, and that's when I first got introduced to the fact that you know, God is not a church. God is not a Sunday mass. That there's more about it, and I got introduced it from Kathy and her dad and their family, and it was something that was real, and I was drawn to it a little bit, but I was also scared to the dickens, you know, if to start to be transparent and to start to be honest and to start to have a lot of integrity. It kind of scared me because I was raised a little different than that, you know, partying lifestyle. Alcohol was involved with a lot of things we did as a family. And I remember that I became a Christian three times. And the first time was for Kathy and her dad and Kathy and her family, you know, because he didn't want us to get married unless I was born again. And so I said, well, that's easy. I'm born again, you know, and it didn't really stick, you know. And I did it again, I think because Kathy wanted me to, through some of our struggles in our marriage. And again, that didn't stick. I did it for Kathy and her family once. I did it for Kathy, you know, the next time, again, through some of our struggles, and then, you know, as our journey goes forward, I did it for myself. And that was about 1995, right around that time. I'll never forget the day.
Rich, that is a beautiful testimony. And I love your honesty to say, you know, three times and the first two were for others. And ultimately, that's why you have to make any decision, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're trying to get help for an addiction or whatever it is. I mean, you can't do it for somebody else, right? You got to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even though we know that, you know, it's funny, as parents and with our kids and stuff, we still encourage our kids to do it because of us. And you're right, when there's a step as big as becoming a Christian, you have to be ready. You have to, you know, be prayed for. You have to be, you have to confess. You have to be ready to reconcile with Jesus. You really do. So,
and there's so many men. There are some, and the reason we do Relationship Monday and Marriage Monday is because there's such a need, right? And Rich, you called in one of the shows we did earlier this year, giving us somewhat of a hint or a glimpse about what your story and your journey had been. And there's so many guys, it seems like, in particular, more than 60% of the listeners to Christian radio are women. More than 90% of the books that are bought at Christian bookstores are bought by women. I don't know what it is with guys in church. I mean, but it's guys in spirituality. But real men do have faith, right?
Well, they sure do. And, you know, you asked me about hunting, and I gave you a little bit of an idea about, you know, if only men could do this. But I spent a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of resources becoming a better bow hunter. Hmm. You practice, you buy the books, you buy the gear, and you really dedicate and donate a lot of time and money to that profession, and you become pretty good at it. And then I also mentioned to you that as a guy, we will, if a bear knocked on our front door and came in our home and threatened our family, as a man, we would jump on that bear and we'd shoot it, and we'd do anything that we had to in order to stop that bear to come in. as a guy, we're not willing to do that with our, not everybody, but for the most part, as men, we're not willing to take that energy that I put towards bow hunting and put it towards the family. And I wasn't willing, you know, and a lot of us guys wouldn't use that much energy that we did to kill that bear that was coming in our house, or that saber-toothed tiger, to save our relationship, or to make our relationship better.
Yeah, is Rome fell from within. Yep. I mean, what's happening already inside of the door and under the roof that might be destroying the marriage? So in your story, I mean, as you hear it, married in 1980, but that, Rich, you genuinely became a believer in 1995, that you were born again. And so the story would play out, seemingly, one might think, and then you lived happily ever after. I mean, Rich became a Christian, and that he, you know, something you'd wanted, you'd prayed for, right, Kathy?
Right.
You'd longed to see. Right. And so talk about the ensuing years. I mean, you got involved in a lot of different ministries, Rich.
Yeah, we did. I was drawn to the youth program because of our two kids, and as a leader with that and the groups. And I started the Christian bookstore downtown next to my cellular business. And then as that went by the wayside, we started the youth called The Rock downtown there, and had, you know, 60, 70 kids come on Wednesday nights. And we were involved, and we were in small groups. And what I felt was we were doing all the right things. You know, we were in the Word. We were trying to help people that we could help, and life was good.
Okay, and then, I mean, that continued over the years, guiding your kids. I mean, Jenny and Richard through high school and graduation. And Rich, I mean, I saw you as an involved dad.
Sports.
I mean, loving your son as much as any dad I saw. I mean, still do. I know that is the case. And involved with him as he was chi high football, etc. And so, was there anything going on underneath the surface here, Kathy? I mean, in terms of, I mean, Richard become a Christian. Weren't you on your way to the marriage that you'd always dreamed of?
Yeah, I think that we were. I think we'd had a lot of good things going on in our life. I think the Bible uses a lot of verbs, you know, seek, knock, wait. And I think we allowed some of those verbs to get on the back burner, and we didn't do the things that we needed to do. I think years of Rich not being a Christian harbored some unforgiveness for me. Things happened that I probably couldn't let go. I knew that I said I forgave, and I think a woman's heart closes very slowly. And I think I allowed my heart to close, and once it closed, it was like a steel trap, and it wasn't going to open. I think that because...
I think you just spoke to a lot of women right there. I mean, that's a major deal right there, because Rich is stepping into the change you'd prayed for, and the Spirit had come into him, and yet the reality of, there'd been hurts and wounds and... Listen, buddy, it doesn't all just get forgotten like that.
Right.
And so, okay, thank you for that honest acknowledgement.
No, that's true. And I think the other thing was, because I had been a Christian from a child, I wanted Rich to be the spiritual leader. And I think that he tried to do that, but because of kind of my unforgiveness, I almost was a little bit haughty in that I felt like I was a better Christian, which sounds terrible to say, and I don't think I ever spoke those words to myself, but I think I felt that, and I always felt like I still was the person who had to drag us to church. I still was the person who had to drag us to read the Bible and do things with our kids. And I would encourage men to be the spiritual leader. You can't have a strong marriage if the woman is pulling you to church and pulling you here and there, you know, by your shirt collar. The man has to be that leader. He has to be that man of integrity.
And doing what? What is it that the actions?
Well, I think the first thing, it starts with just loving your wife, loving her with all your heart. And as our pastor Jim says at CVBC, dating your wife, you know, speaking respectfully. I think one of our greatest issues was the way we spoke to each other. I think that Rich had... He in a lot of the way his conversations would be, he would speak disrespectfully to me, and those little pebbles became boulders eventually. And once we did get back together, our pastor gave us a book, Love and Respect, and we do talk about that often. I didn't respect him because of things that had gone on in the past, and therefore his love started to wane for me, and it was this terrible wheel of these things that kept going around, and we didn't know how to jump off of it. And I think that's pretty much what led us to divorce.
And now for Rich and Kathy Ward sharing their story here on a Marriage Monday front page, WWIBandWib.com. So ahead of this first break here, so your youngest child, Julia, I mean, she's 12 years younger than your second, Richard. Mm-hmm. So you don't have an empty nest. I mean, a lot of people who do get divorced, I told you before we went on, when Stephen Curtis Chapman on More to This Life recorded I Will Be Here, he wrote that song after his own parents, after more than 20 years of marriage, got divorced. And for a lot of folks, a lot of them, I mean, it's when they get the empty nest and then they realize, wow, we both were staying, then it's for the kids and we don't know each other and mm-hmm. it's just not there. That wasn't the case. I mean, you didn't have an empty nest. You still don't have an empty nest, right?
Right. That's right.
But as we head to break, I mean, maybe both of you talk about what led to divorcing in 2009.
Yeah. Well, for me, I took the step. I decided I wanted a divorce. I didn't want to live that way for 30 more years, getting up early so I could avoid them, going to bed early so I could avoid them. And I knew I had a little girl, and I think she was 10 at the time. And I just felt like because of things that had happened in the past, I had the biblical right to divorce. And I kind of played that card. And I walked into the counselor, Philip Kessler, at Clinic for Christian Counseling. And I said, if you tell me to go home and stay with my husband, I will walk out this door and never come back. And he didn't say that. He listened to me. And that was my start of my healing. But that's where I came. I took my daughter to Kentucky Fried Chicken on a pouring rain night. She'll never go there again. And I said, we're divorcing. Mm. And she cried. And I just was cold. Like I said, my heart was shut. And I wasn't going back. And I
So it sounds like some of the things, when we talk about unforgiveness and the bitterness and resentment that it sows, I mean, it was doing that in your heart.
Right.
Yeah. Cold. Right. Closed. Avoiding. I think a lot of women, again, probably identifying with you, saying, I do that. So, Rich, how about from your end? Did you know this was going on?
Well, I didn't, if you'd allow me to step back a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, as hard as it is to admit and as hard as it is to talk about it, in the early years of our marriage, I was unfaithful. And I think Kathy forgave me for that, and I can't speak for her, but I don't think she got a chance. I don't think it's easy to forget about it. And then as my relationship with Jesus got the way it was supposed to be, and it was solid, and we were doing good things. As small things started to enter into our relationship, I could feel it, you know, a little bit of, and I don't say a little bit, I don't want to minimize it, but as some dishonesty issues arose with finances and you know, time where I was going and, you know, hunting and doing all those things, it just got enough, brought back enough bitter memories from the past that things started to get not real good. And perfect example, I have it written in my notes, that love and respect vicious cycle that we got in. And I remember telling a good friend of mine that, you know, this was getting towards that period of time. I could sense it. I could feel it. I said, I'm going to do whatever I can, you know, from this point forward to hold my wife up on a pedestal and respect her more and be more transparent. Well, it was a day or two after that I said that to my friend that I got the news from Kathy that she wanted a divorce. So, you know, that was
too little, too late.
Too little, too late.
Right. All right, that's where we're going to take a break right now. Rich and Kathy Ward bravely sharing their story. It's a powerful story. And we're so glad they're sharing with us today on WWIBandWib.com on a Marriage Monday. Divorced in 2009. What happened? We'll find out more coming up.
It's the only thing she ever wanted all of her life, to fall in love and be a good wife. They said a vow and she took his name 15 years ago today. But now they're living separate lives in the same old house. They used to be in love, but they've forgotten how. It's been so long, the flame is gone. The hearts are beating, but they're barely hanging on. When you feel like something's missing, and your world is crashing down.
heal this hole. Yeah, God can heal this home.
All right, God can heal this home. Luminate, front page, WWIB. Rich and Kathy Ward sharing their story on a Marriage Monday. All right, so you guys married 1980. Rich actually becomes a believer in 1995. I love how you told that story in the first segment, Rich. How, you know what? Did it three times. The first two was for somebody else, and that really wasn't real. But it was when I did it for me. And yet, having said that, with a daughter who was 9 years old, Kathy, I so appreciate your honesty, too, that, you know what? There was stuff in my heart I had not forgiven him for. And so Rich told us about getting this message. So what happened? Take us to that day and go from there, Kathy. 2009, how did you tell Rich you wanted a divorce?
I think Rich knew, because he came home one day and he said, "Are you divorcing me? I want to know right now." I think he had seen maybe that I was looking up things on the internet. And I said, "Yes." And he left, and I just, that was it. He lived at the cabin for a while. I lived with our daughter for a while, and eventually got his own apartment. And I just, you know, one thing I did, I guess there's not a lot of things that you do right, because I'm not here to glorify me at all. But one thing that I felt like the Lord was helped me doing was to connect with church, connect with Christians, connect with my friends, connect with a Christian counselor. And I just really glommed on to the Lord, and I would sit in the chair, and I just really felt his comfort, even though I know God hates divorce. I know that, but I knew he loved me, and I never spoke ill about Rich, not one time, to Jenny or to Richard or to Julia. And I really feel like my counselor told me, take the high road. And I really didn't tell too many people. Even some of my closest friends didn't know until we had already been divorced. And I love that advice, take the high road. There's no reason for me to tell people all my dirty laundry. People don't want to know. They don't care to know. And I didn't need to share bad things. I told people I still loved Rich, because I did. But I really just wanted peace in my home, and I felt like I needed to do that so that for the next 30 years I would have a peaceful home. Mm.
So, Rich, I mean, how did that send you reeling? And
to say the least, your identity as a guy is you're a married man, you're a family man, you're coaching your kids in sports. Everything you do is centered around your family. And then you wake up one day, and now you're divorced. You got the D on your chest or your forehead or whatever you want to say. And, you know, when I heard that, and I remember years ago in our marriage, Kathy started to exercise. I remember getting mad at her because she was exercising. Now, I wasn't mad at her. I was mad at myself because I wasn't exercising. So Kathy tells me she wants a divorce. Now I'm mad at her. And I did just the opposite of what Kathy did. You know, I hid out. I stayed away from my friends, and I had some good Christian friends, and I stayed away from our church, the church we were attending. I stayed away from the pastor. I stayed away from any constructive things that would help me. Again, I was mad at Kathy. No, I was mad at me, because I knew that I didn't work on that foundation of that marriage during those next 14 years or 15 years after I became a believer. Mm. So it was. I've told friends that have said to me, you know, I'm thinking about getting divorced. What do you think? They don't want to hear it, but I'll say, you gotta, you know, you lose a child in death, or you lose a family or loved one. This is worse. It's every day. You're going to think about it. You're going to go grocery shopping. You're going to go to the bank. You're going to go to work. You're going to get in your car, and you're going to think about that best friend, spouse that you had forever, your kids and your family, and that's not you anymore. I was bitter. I did exactly what Kathy didn't do.
Yeah. And I do want to say, too, it was not at all totally Rich's fault. I was just as much to blame. I didn't speak up for myself. I allowed myself to be a doormat, and I taught Rich how to treat me. He didn't just all of a sudden one day decide, well, I'm just going to be disrespectful. I taught him to do that. And I didn't pray for our marriage like I should have. I didn't go to the Lord. I didn't go to the pastor beforehand. I didn't go to the counselor beforehand. I did that all after I had made my decision. And those are the things that I did wrong. I should have. I should have been on my knees with Rich. And now we pray together. We didn't do that. We didn't do that enough. We didn't read the word enough. We kind of lived our own separate Christian lives. And that really set a bad foothold in our marriage. Mm. And we allowed that to, you know, just dig the roots in and grow.
Rich and Kathy Ward sharing honestly about getting divorced after 29 years of marriage. So, Kathy, from the day that you served the papers to Rich, or from that day to when was the divorce final? Give me somewhat of a chronological idea.
It was May
of 2009. Okay.
Of 2009, and we were divorced a week before Christmas.
Wow.
Which even now I'm shocked that I would even allow that to happen a week before Christmas. But that's how cold my heart had become. I didn't care. A couple days later, he took me out for my birthday because we still had that relationship that we still wanted to have. We didn't want our family to be totally dispersed.
Now, Rich, you told me before we went on the air that you said we didn't have a bitter divorce. I mean, she said she didn't speak ill of you to the kids. And again, that's a great example, but that's not often followed, right? But
unfortunately, in this day and age, and you know, you see it as well as I do, there's a lot of bitterness when a divorce happens. And I was mad and you know, and I was upset and things. But just for our daughter's sake and for my own sanity, I didn't want to blast everybody involved and you know, and say bad things and do bad things. I felt to blame. And I thought if there was ever any chance of us getting back together or ever doing anything, that wasn't going to help things along at all.
So that thought was on your mind? That thought was?
At first it was. Okay. Then it wasn't.
Uh-huh. Right, right. Yep.
And it wasn't perfect. We sure had our share of arguments and discussions and late night phone calls. I mean, we can't say that we were perfectly respectful to each other the whole time. That's not true.
But here we sit four years later, and things are not where they were in 2009. So what happened then, Kathy, in terms of you, we do divorce care on the air on Tuesdays. We'll do it tomorrow with Dori Pulse to close out the year, and she's going to be leading that at Peace Church coming up after the first of the year for people who are looking for that to provide help and hope and healing for people going through a divorce. Did you go to something like that?
Yeah, I actually went to just one class in Eau Claire, and then after Rich and I were divorced, I asked our pastor, Jim, if we could start divorce care at Chippewa Valley Bible Church, and he said yes. So I did that, and that was probably one of the biggest things that helped me, because there was one video on forgiveness. And after I watched that, being the leader, I had never watched it till I was actually, you know, facilitating this class. But I took that DVD home, and I literally watched it 7 times. Mm. And it was that DVD in that moment that the Lord used to teach me, you know what? You're not perfect in this. Mm. You need to get your act together, and you need to forgive, and you need to work on yourself. This is not all Rich's fault. And I think for me, that was the beginning of my heart softening and me realizing that, you know what? There are 50% responsibility for 100% responsibility, but we both have an equal share in this. It's not all him and non me. But that DVD on forgiveness, that was for me the beginning of my heart coming around to.
So that was the piece, as you acknowledged in the story earlier, Kathy Ward, the fact of not forgiving, and that bitterness and resentment ultimately leads to closing off and to maybe even the divorce. But that's I'm so glad you share that, and the idea of watching it and just letting it sink in 7 times, because it's a tough deal, wasn't it, to let go and say, God, you've forgiven me, and now I'm called to forgive.
Right.
As much as it may have hurt.
Right.
As hard as it may have been.
Right. And as much as we say, I forgive, it has to be down to your very being, mm-hmm. down mm-hmm. to every cell of your body has to forgive. It can't be just in your head, oh, yes, I forgive. For me, it had to go deeper, and I really, truly had to forgive everything. And to this day, we still have to forgive each other.
Right.
We work on ourselves and our marriage, and no one's perfect.
Yeah.
And we just have to realize that.
So, Rich, you didn't necessarily pursue divorce care right as soon as she did.
No, I didn't. As we talked a little bit about, we stayed in touch just because we had that common bond. That daughter, mm-hmm. was 14, at this time she was 10 or 11, and so there was a lot of things involved. She was in, you know, softball and violin and in middle school and going to middle school. And so I was involved with all that. So we were around and speaking. And then one of the series at Divorce Care was dealing with finances and maybe how to play out some of those as you separate and how, as you, you know, you've got the common bank account, the common mortgage, the different things. And so Kathy, thinking that maybe it would advantage me, invited me to come to that class just to hear that, you know, no strings attached. She's not going to get back together with me ever again, but she wanted me to come and hear this. And that's how Kathy is. You know, she still cares and loves people there regardless of what, but she wanted me to hear that series on finances. Mm-hmm. So I did.
Okay. And then keep going. What happened?
You know, I it's kind of a blur. I mean, I can tell you the highlights, but time went forth, and I had found a new place to live, and at that point I was living just a few blocks away, and I found a new house, a newer house that I could rent for very inexpensive in Jim Falls. And so I moved into that new home, and again, time progresses, goes on, and I had my daughter, my granddaughter, stay over for a little, you know, a little party, a little slumber party, and I kept talking how neat the house was and things, and Kathy had not seen it at that point. So the girls were at my house, they were sleeping, and for some reason, Kathy and I were on the phone together, and she says, "When do I get to see that house?" And I said, "Well, you know, tonight if you want." And whether I should say this or not on the air, I don't know. But before I hung up that phone, I know she pulled in the driveway and knocked on the door. So it was kind of a fun time back then. As through all the bad things that went on, this was kind of that. It almost makes you think back to that high school romance.
Yeah, right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it started. Kathy had come in, and I showed her the home, and the girls were there, and they were sleeping. And I remember being married for, at that point, you know, almost 30 years, Mark, mm-hmm. almost 30 years. And that night we sat there and we talked and cried and prayed probably more in that several hours than we did the 20 years prior to that. And I would say aired dirty laundry, but we spoke what we felt. And
that very night? You did?
That very night.
You talked and cried and prayed, and while your daughter and granddaughter were asleep,
yep.
I mean, this is, oh,
yep.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And it was, and it, you know, and I don't want to say the rest is history,
but... It's healing, though. It's
yeah,
healing.
And...
And because Kathy, you'd gone through the forgiveness, and so your heart was different.
Mm-hmm. It was, and he had this new home, and he said, "Well, you want to come see it?" And before I would have said, "No way," because I remember saying to Rich, "I will never, ever, 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 ever get back together with you."
Wow. Ever.
Exactly.
That's a lot of evers.
It was
wow.
a lot of evers. And so when he invited me, for some reason I wanted to. And so I went up to the home and saw it, and we sat at that kitchen counter, and I bet we cried for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because the next morning all our daughter's little girlfriends were there for a birthday party, and we took them for a ride in the four-wheeler, and we were holding hands for the first time, and one of the little girls said to Julie, "Your parents are holding hands." And it was her birthday.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. But it was the beginning, and it led us to, you know, with meeting with the pastor and continuing to meet with the counselor and reading the book Love and Respect and doing the dating, which we had never done, basically, because we lived 1,000 miles apart, and we did have fun in it. We allowed ourselves to laugh again. I think that was something we forgot to do, and to date and to just have fun together. Huh. And we wanted to make it for about a year of working on ourselves, and we'd read the book Love and Respect, and we got the workbook, and we both did the divorce care together, and we started to really work on our relationship, and we both wanted to do that at that point.
And so that takes it. We're going to take one more break here, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the starting to date in 2010 and obviously what eventually happened as a result of that. It's a beautiful, powerful story that certainly if you listen close, leaves some tears in your eyes. On front page, WWIB and WIB.com.
It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real.
takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness.
Nobody's growing old together. We've made it easy just to quit. Love has become a negative percentage. Why do we bother to commit? We've got a long list of excuses, ways we try to justify. Well, I propose to you the truth is marriage does not have to die.
Chris August, front page, WWIV. Coming up on 10:45, final segment on a Five Below Monday, December 30th, with Rich and Kathy Ward, talking about being married for close to 30 years, getting divorced in 2009, and then starting to date again in 2010. A beautiful way that arose, that as you described it, I think, Kathy, you said, I think we cried for 6 hours. Wow. And then out of that, what a birthday gift to Julia that year, as her parents are holding hands and riding the four-wheeler at the birthday party at Dad's new house, I guess. And then, so you started, it seems like you were like, again, Kathy, you'd said, I never, ever, ever, we're not getting back together. The door is shut. And yet, so you were going to pursue this slowly. I mean, but you'd worked out the forgiveness, and that was huge. That was for you why you'd filed that. You did on forgiveness. And so how did that dating process unfold, and what did it lead to, Kathy? Or Rich?
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
When I was in high school, I had a dear friend that died in a car accident. And I remember having dreams about him, that he didn't die and that he was still with us, and things we did, and his parents, and when we had that night where we spoke and cried and prayed, I felt like a dream, like, okay, my best friend didn't die. My best friend isn't gone, because Kathy had spoken with me so many times that, you know, we're never going to get back together, ever, 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 ever. And I don't know if I accepted that, but when I decided, or when we decided that we were, I didn't decide, when we decided and prayed and decided that we were going to date again, I guess one prayer I had is that with God is that, you know, I'm going to take this more serious than anything I ever have. As Kathy mentioned, we had a long distance romance for a long time. You know, we weren't together for several years in the same city. It was weekends or a month here or a month there after we met and then got married. So, you know, we would do the simplest things is sitting on the bed or couch and talking about our day and our feelings and asking and not telling each other what, you know, I'm going to tell you what you think. I'm going to ask you what you think. I think I was more respectful to Kathy. I think I was more patient with anything. You know, we'd go out to dinner and we'd get done, and it was just the most, we were dating. We were learning about each other. We were courting. You know, it was awesome. It's almost like if every married couple could, not divorce, but if every married couple could get a reality check and start to date and court their spouse again,
yeah,
it'd be awesome.
Hmm.
It really would be.
So, you re-proposed then?
I did re-propose, if that's a word. I remember talking to Pastor Jim. I met with him weekly, you know, because I wanted to get this right, and I wanted to get some advice, and I wanted to get some direction. And as I mentioned earlier, I ran from everybody. I ran from God. I knew that he, you know, left me. I knew that my friends didn't want to hear about it. I knew that, you know, I was embarrassed, and so I met with Jim and got direction, and he said, you know, one thing you got to do is you got to ask her, and I think this will get into some of the things you were asking us mm-hmm. about, is when you ask her, you got to ask her forever and ever and ever. You know, if we get back together and if we get married forever, not this is we're going to try this, and if things happen, we're not going to be mm-hmm. married anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to propose to her. I gave her a promise ring during that dating time. And, you know, I don't know how specific we want to get on the date we chose to mm-hmm. be married, but we got married on 7/11/11. Our original anniversary was August 2nd, which would have been, you know, mm-hmm. not quite a month later. And we wanted to wait till that time, but do I share why we got married when we did? I mean, other than absence makes the heart grow fonder, and we loved each other very much, but...
well, and I wanted to wait a year.
12 months.
We needed, because I saw that he had taken a step back from the Lord, and that was the last thing I wanted, was to now get in a marriage again where I'm trying to be the spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make sure we were equally yoked and that we were both on fire for the Lord, because that is the most important thing in this life to me, is that I'm a good witness to people and that I can show people God's love. If I can't do that, then it's not worth anything. And I wanted us to be on the same spot with that. And so I thought a year would be a good time frame. We can work on not just our marriage, but work on our relationship with God, and to continue to seek counsel through the pastor and through the Christian Counseling Clinic. And so we did want to wait a year, but then mm-hmm. he got run over by a tractor. You can tell.
What happened?
No, I was getting some stuff ready for hunting and food plots, they call them, for the deer, and I was planting, and I had an old tractor a guy let me borrow, and you had to start it with a screwdriver, and it started up in gear, and it ran over me, and it had a disc on it, and I pretty much got planted, and just through that, we decided that, for a couple reasons, you know, philosophically, that we loved each other so much and I didn't want to die before we were married, and and actually, financially speaking, I didn't have insurance at the time, and if we were married, because you know, that would be a benefit. So and I tell the story that I shared our testimony once since this has happened, other than today. If I would have known getting run over by a tractor was all it took, I would have jumped in front of one, you know, years earlier.
That's funny. Well, Rich and Kathy Ward, it's a powerful story. So in the last 2.5 years, how has that been different?
Well, I, you know, for myself, one thing we do is, you know, we're still going to have our disagreements and our arguments. And because we're different, we're going to have different views and different things. One thing we do, though, is we rectify those differences right away. We don't let them fester. I mentioned that I told a buddy of mine after we were almost going to get divorced that I'm really going to try to hold her up on a pedestal and make her understand that as important as things are in my life, she's the most important. And so I try to do that. Do I fail at it? Sometimes I do. As a man, I'll tell you, sometimes I do. But she knows that I'm trying to, and I'll explain to her my feelings, and I'll respect her, and I'll try to be that spiritual leader that she searches for in the house. She told me a long time ago, there's nothing more appealing than a godly man. And if I remember that, I want to be appealing in front of my wife's
eyes.
Yeah,
right.
And
right.
So, you know, you try to do that. We're trying to do a few more things together that we didn't do before, where we started to go different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So that's my, you know, that's my take on how it's different. Now,
you know, and yeah. I think for me, through it all, I knew that when we were divorced, I still could rely on Rich. If I needed, if I had a flat tire, I knew I could still call on him. But through that also, with some issues that came out in our own children, we got closer through that. But it also made me a stronger person. And I think I became a force to be reckoned with in some instances, you know, where maybe I would have taken some disrespectful talk. I wasn't about to take that anymore. And I think, you know, I always was raised to be humble and to, you know, I don't know, I guess being humble kind of backfired on me a little bit in that I would allow some disrespect things. And I grew stronger when I was by myself in that I felt like I had learned so much and I could rely on God so much. And it helped me to be a stronger person. And then we got back together. We were more of a powerhouse together. I appreciated mm-hmm. his strengths. I didn't look at him as he's up here on this pedestal and I'm down below just in a servitude way. We were more equals in how we communicate and what we do and our decisions that we make in our lives, whether it be finances or for the children. So I think we just appreciate the things that that bugged us about each other. Now we appreciate them more because we actually stopped.
Well, I think by sharing your testimony today, I mean, it shows the powerhouse couple that you become in terms of in ministry and wounded healers, what you've gone through and out of that to share. You don't have a testimony, so you've endured a test, and you have. And you've done things like facilitated divorce care together at your church. And what a powerful witness for people to see. Hold it. You guys were divorced, but you get reconciled as a result. Really, you were... Some of your healing, Kathy, came through the divorce care material on forgiveness, and now you guys reconciled. So, again, that might not be for everybody. Nobody's saying that, but the possibility exists, and you're an example right in front of them. I just think that's really powerful. We're getting some emails here. Kelly Dorney says, powerful. Thank you, Mark. Please tell Rich and Kathy we love them. Praise God. And also Amy Lee Fish says, just wanted to let Rich and Kathy know I'm inspired by them and blessed to have great neighbors. Thanks for sharing your story. So what was the reaction of your kids to hear mom and dad are going to get remarried?
Well, Julia said she prayed about that all the time, and so she was thrilled to death. I think the other two are a little more hesitant. They kind of figured, oh, no, here we go again.
Uh-huh.
But it was really interesting because we grabbed them up. It was just a hot summer day. We took the dog. We ran to church, and... it was just our family and the dog right there.
Yeah,
a couple of strangers in church at the time taking pictures. But I think our older children needed proof that this was real. They were afraid that, oh, brother, you know, what are they doing? Whereas our younger daughter being the small.
But I'm sure now very delighted that.
Very delighted.
I mean, it's just one of the greatest gifts you could have. You want to give your kids a gift. Reconcile your marriage right now, even pre-divorce.
Right.
Heed some of the tips Rich is saying that guys, some of the energies and efforts and dollars we put towards hunting and fishing, right. Have you put just how about putting some of that towards your marriage and improving that relationship? So what are some of the lessons that can be learned for others from what you went through?
Well, you know, I recently had a
4 minutes.
Recently had a good friend of mine, a good acquaintance of mine, tell me he was going to get married and ask me if I had any advice. One of them was to the men out there, be transparent to your spouse. You know, tell her how you feel. Be transparent with finances. If you screw up or blow it, you know, let your wife know what happened. We're all sinners and things are going to happen. And respect, you know, love and respect. That book that was asked for us to go through, it was huge, you know, because we don't know. Why don't I feel like my wife loves me? Well, it's because I'm not showing her respect, or she's not showing me respect, so I'm not showing her love.
Right. Husbands love your wives. Wives respect your husbands.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to dive into some resources to make things better, because we'll do a lot of energy and a lot of money to get better at things in our lives that we are hobbies. You know, well, our relationship is much more than a hobby.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Say. Kathy, how about one big lesson for people to learn?
Well, I would say for women who aren't married, seek Christian, godly men. It worked out for us only because the Lord is stronger than all of our weaknesses. But pray for your husband. People who are going through divorce, go to Christian counseling. There is hope. God can do anything. He's just amazing, and we love him with all our heart. Seek divorce care. If you have friends going through divorce, don't judge them. Just listen. Be there. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Boys, be leaders. Turn into godly men. Be the powerhouse in the home. Raise your sons to be strong men of integrity, and raise your daughters to speak up for themselves, even though they have that submissive role in the family with the husband.
And I think this show is a powerful message about forgiveness here,
right,
about the dangers of unforgiveness,
right,
the bitterness and resentment that can grow.
Yeah.
Because and for us to realize how much we've been forgiven, and from that be empowered to forgive. Rich and Kathy Ward, thank you so much. Wonderful, powerful show. We'll get the podcast up today at wib.com.